Bones, I'm feeling cold on this open. I'm feeling cold, sad because they lost 9-1. I'm feeling cold, bats. I'm in Appleton, Wisconsin right now where it's legitimately very cold. So, you know, I've never felt such a literal meaning to this cold open, but mostly cold hearted. Just cold hearted.
Ben, that was the worst game of the year, and it wasn't even close. That was some of the worst baseball I've seen in so long. Like, so bad. That was so bad on every front, whether it was the umpiring, the defense, the bats, the bullpen, the Charlie Montoyo. I mean, it was just lethal.
Yeah, that wasn't great. The good news, though, we have a lot of fun still coming up on Locked On Blue Jays. We're going to get in a much better mood. Don't worry. Not to mention, you know, we're recording this right after the game, but you're listening to it with another game coming up, and that's baseball, baby. Another shot to beat the Yanks today. It's Locked On Blue Jays, and it starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays. We're sad. The Blue Jays lost 9-1. They lose their first series of the season. But as the Jays Twitter account told you, they put a nice spin on it. The first series loss comes in May. So it was going to happen at some point. The Jays fall 9-1. And you know what a positive is? That you just made Locked On Blue Jays your first listen. And you keep doing that every day. It's awesome. We are seeing, bit by bit, the community grow and grow, more and more listeners, and it's because of you awesome people telling your friends, giving us likes and ratings, following us on Twitter, talking with us during games, and riding along with us. We appreciate it. Our Twitter, at Locked On Jays, and we're free and available wherever you get your pods. So, as always, check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, hopefully YouTube soon, but we don't necessarily pull the strings on that end right now. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off $500. Use code LOCKEDON at checkout. All right, well, I could use $50 back from this game, Bones, because that was painful to watch, and I did not enjoy it. I didn't pay for it, but
I don't know where you get that from, but that was just a lethal game. I mean, the Yankees are very good, so I wouldn't be too upset about it necessarily, but we'll get into that later. The main thing I have from this game, and you can kind of hit on a bunch of stuff, whether that's the defense, the terrible umpiring, the terrible calls that didn't go the Blue Jays' way, that entire Marwin Gonzalez fiasco in which the Jays didn't have a challenge, Vladdy so obviously tagged him, but he thought he was Chris Coughlin, it was a whole thing. But what it comes down to for me is that they just wasted a beautiful start from Alek Manoah. I mean, the guy just diced up the Yanks for six innings, and they absolutely wasted it. I mean, I was watching this game, and when Manoah faced Judge for, I believe, the first time, I was in awe on the way he struck him out. I mean, we know he hit the bomb later in the game, and Judge is Judge, and he's kind of on fire right now, which is kind of why it's all the more impressive that Manoah kind of dominated him in the first at-bat. The pitch sequence was crazy. He showed him the slider pretty early, and Manoah's slider, as you all know, is absolutely bonkers. The guy's slider is one of the best in the league. Then he hit him with the sinker, so you have the same pitch at the same arm angle coming two different ways at you. If I'm Aaron Judge, I have no idea what to expect next. Maybe you see a changeup, then a fastball. Shows him the slider again and gets him ready for a two-strike pitch that is likely to the viewer and to Aaron Judge another slider because he knows he can't hit it. And then instead of doing that, he throws him a 96-mile-an-hour fastball that's entirely hittable, but since Judge thought the slider was coming, he had no chance at it, and it was so late. I mean, just so late. I could have watched that at-bat 10 times over and find a new cool thing about it. It's just all the more sad that Manoah's incredible start gets wasted.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the sad part, but first, while you bring up the Manoah solid start, we may as well just like marvel in this dude going another six innings, one run, seven strikeouts. He's at least gone six innings in every outing so far this year, despite early pitch counts. He's at most given up 2 earned runs in any start this year, and he struck out on average about 6.5 hitters a game. It's nuts, and we keep talking about it, but it continues to be nuts. And until he pitches poorly in his like 40 start major league career, it's not even that. Why would we not freak out about it? It's insane. His slider has a 36% whiff rate. That's disgusting. I'll be honest, I don't know how quickly Baseball Savant stats update, but it says right now that he has only allowed 2 barrels this season. He started 5 games. Like, how do you only allow 2 barrels? Even if it's his first 4 starts, that's still ridiculous. A barrel isn't necessarily a home run. It just means you made good contact. So he's crazy, and I'm so happy that he's a Blue Jay, and he's so awesome, and he can do no wrong. But yeah, it hurts, because as much as, you know, could you make the argument that the bad calls, you know, you missed 2 out calls, maybe the game's like 2-1, 3-1 after 7 instead of 7-1, sure. But at the end of the day, they continue to score like 1 or 2 runs in the first 6 innings of every game. Even if they end up scoring, they just aren't getting the offense going. And it's so frustrating because it doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the thing. The other thing about it is...
they had 8 hits today. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you can complain about the calls, you can complain about the defense, but at the end of the day, even if it was a 3-1 game, you still lose. They only scored 1 run. I mean, you got to get more out of the stars of this lineup, but at the same time, Ben, they did hit the ball. They just weren't timely about it. Vinny Capper made some good contact in his 1 at-bat, but it was right to the Yankees' left fielder. And the other upsetting part about it is that you had Jameson Taillon on the mound, who's not a world beater and who's absolutely hittable. I mean, this game was chalked up. I would have told you, and I think we probably did last episode, that this was the game that the Blue Jays needed to win because... I mean, it's a Manoa start against a pitcher who's not great. I mean, it just had everything. It was all over. It was a Jays victory. But the bats need to show up in the clutch moments. The runners in scoring position average continues to dip. And you're never going to be a successful baseball team if that number is low.
Yeah, it's the runners in scoring position is tough. They also walk at one of the fewest rates in baseball, which... they weren't going to be a big walk team. They're a huge swing at the first pitch team, and that's fine. But the combination of the two makes it really tough because you have 8-10 hit games and you score 3 or fewer runs. I don't know if I have that much more to say. It's unfortunately kind of on theme for what's happened. I do want to reserve 1 minute, and I know everyone has already talked about it on Twitter, but just to like, shout out the fan who gave the ball to the kid.
That was awesome.
That guy's a cool dude. Baseball's way more important than winning and losing. That kid burst into tears, and he's like never going to forget that because he got an Aaron Judge home run ball.
I mean, continues to paint the Canadian as a good person. So huge for the Torontonians.
Yeah, you know what? Team's getting smacked up. Immediate moment. Almost didn't like the guy for putting his fists up in the air for not even clean catching an Aaron Judge home run ball. But then hand the ball to a kid. And I think, and look, some would call me a softie. I think there should be a new tradition in baseball. I think it's stupid and a little bit dangerous that people take a home run ball from an opposing team and throw it back on the field. Like, Aaron Judge would care if you threw his home run ball back. He doesn't care at all. I think what you should do when you get a home run ball is always this. If you get a home run ball from an opposing team, you should find a child who cheers for the team and give it to him. And then you've made someone's day way better, and you don't have to think about the ball anymore, and everyone thinks you're a cool dude, so your day's not bad, even if your team is getting smacked up, even if you want to be a selfish guy. You know,
look at this guy, Shulman.
You're sick.
He's so wholesome. So
that's my new decree. But then again, like, everyone on Twitter saying it, so I'm not going to get over here like virtue signaling. all right, I think that's all we got. You have any other thoughts?
I've got nothing else. I mean, end of the day, just a sad, sad game.
Yeah. Well, we did have a little thing on Twitter today for most of the fans who weren't watching the opposing feed. Yes Network was somehow shocked that Frank Thomas was a Blue Jay. Kind of tough.
Really? It's hilarious.
Yeah, kind of thought people knew that. But they were. He had his 3,000th hit with the Jays. But you know what? We play a game that makes people surprised all the time that people were Blue Jays. It's called He Was a Blue Jay, and it's coming up next on the Locked On Blue Jays podcast.
Torontonians, Mother's Day is right around the corner. If you're scrambling for a gift, maybe some jewelry is exactly what you want to get mom. Whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday subtle elegance, BlueNile.com has fine jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, or gemstone pendant necklaces. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today.
With Ben Shulman. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate you coming out. I'm your host, Ben Shulman, with our contestant, professional yodeler, and man who learned what people from Toronto are called today, Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Shulman. Sorry for exposing you, but I got to give you a little bit of an intro.
Who's an educated guest?
I will say, to give him credit, he said, what are people from Toronto called? Torontonians? So you did get it. You got it. But
I'm in the loop, dude. I am in the loop.
You know what you also got? This game on lock. You're 6-0.
I'm that guy.
Not only am I running out and need to get more of these pretty soon, but I need to get like way harder ones, it turns out. Because you got Daniel Vogelbach in not even 5, and that wasn't your last one. Your most recent one was Cecil Fielder. You got him in 4. The hint that got it for you was he's the father of a prominent player in our lifetime. That was at least the last hint that I gave you, so I think that was the one that turned it for you. But you're 6-0. You've got Cecil Fielder, Phil Niekro, Danny Hechevarria, Miguel Castro, Kevin Millar, and Daniel Vogelbach. Are you ready for He Was a Blue Jay number 7?
I will say real quick to the listeners, I would love to compete with the listeners on this. So if you're getting them quicker than I am, go to Twitter, @LockedOnJays. Let me know if I'm not doing well. But I want to hear about it.
Yeah, don't cheat. Listen along with us. When you get your answer, be like, all right, I got it in 3. But don't Google. You know what? This isn't a Google show. This is a Bing show, if anything. All right. You want to get going?
Yeah, get going, man.
So, five hints. He gets 3 guesses in 30 seconds after each one. He started to learn to use his guesses, which I think has only made him better. It's a niche Blue Jay. I give you hints about, you know, what other parts of their career. And I'll be honest, it's going to be a tough one this week. But you know, I'm like 95 to 98% sure you know who this guy is. So Okay. Let's see what happens. All right, you ready?
Yep.
This guy was a catcher who was exclusively a National League guy, except for his stint with the Jays. That's hit 1.
Deionner Navarro.
Incorrect. He played for the White Sox at one.
He played for the Rays a long time.
I believe he was a Yankee prospect. But
really?
I didn't know that. Played for the Yankees. I believe he was actually initially you guys.
Huh. That's all I got.
Anything else? All right. Favorite Blue Jay of all time, by the way. Deionner Navarro. Not actually, but he's like 3rd. All right. Number 2. He was a Blue Jay at some point in the last 7 seasons. That's the arrow. Okay. I don't know if it was 7 years ago or last year, but I just wanted to give you kind of a rough range.
Chris Stewart. So,
incorrect.
Whew. I don't even know if Chris Stewart was ever a Blue Jay.
Catcher, National League. I'm going to do... This is also our episode that leads the pod in typing sound. So as I try and fact check some of your guesses for fun.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think Chris Stewart ever played for the Jays.
No, I don't think so either, but I'm fact checking. He did not. He did not. He did play for the Yankees. Goodness.
I know, I remember that on their
field. And he was almost exclusively a National League guy.
Yeah, that's why I thought about it.
He did also play like 17 games for Texas and 6 for the White Sox, but that's
I don't remember that.
But exclusively National League catcher, those were like early in his career. Exclusively National League catcher besides the Blue Jays, and a Blue Jay at some point in the last seven seasons.
Okay, move on. I got to move on.
Okay. He was a two-time All-Star, once in 2011, once in 2014.
Two-time All-Star, and I'm not going to get this?
Two-time All-Star catcher.
Like, when was it? When were the years?
11 and 14.
11 and 14? An NL All-Star catcher.
What I will say is,
he must have played like two games for the Jays.
He played, I'm not going to tell you that, how many.
He played like seven games or something.
He played more than two in seven games, I'll tell you that.
Jonathan Lucroy.
Incorrect. That would be cool if he was a Jay, but he was not. And Lucroy played for Texas.
He did, you're right.
And maybe the Angels. Did Lucroy play for the Angels?
Oh, he might have.
Okay, the hints while you're thinking, you got more guesses from this hint if you want. But the three hints we've already given you. This guy is a catcher who was exclusively a National League guy, barring a stint with the Jays. He was a Blue Jay at some point in the last seven seasons, and he's a two-time All-Star, once in 2011, once in 2014.
What's the latest hint? What?
The latest hint, I'll just recap the last
thing. Okay. Yeah, I want the next hint.
Okay. So our catcher, who only played in the National League other than the Jays at some point in the last seven seasons, was a two-time All-Star. The fourth hint, he was a member of the Cubs during the 2016 World Series before he made the trip to Toronto.
All right, well, I have to guess David Ross.
Not David Ross. Okay. He retired after the World Series, didn't he?
Yeah, I just had to make the guess.
So now I've narrowed down your window at least a little bit.
Goodness, who was the backup catcher for that team? Oh, it is Miguel Montero.
Ah, you got it.
Let's go.
I'm so angry.
Let's go. Oh, my goodness. Then, Miguel Montero. He was a Blue... When was he a Blue Jay? What? When?
32 games.
Wow. 32 games. You know, the thing I was thinking of, I was like, when have I... Like, I was thinking of all the Blue Jays catchers I've seen play against the Yankees. And I couldn't, I was like, all I could keep thinking of was Alejandro Kirk. And I was like, I know it ain't him.
He wasn't even the backup catcher on them. He was like their third catcher. I can't believe
him. Oh my goodness. Not just that guy, man.
Because if Ross is considered the backup catcher on that team, then like, it's Wilson Contreras was the starter.
And he was with the Diamondbacks when he was an All-Star, right?
Yeah. So he was, he was a good player.
He was a good player,
That's why I figured you'd know. Like, he wouldn't be too niche. The fifth hint, if you want it, just for fun.
Sure.
I think it would have gotten you it, but I'm not sure. So this is like a real mashup of our two games. I said, at least according to Baseball Reference, he shares a nickname with a current Yankee starter due to the fact their last name starts with the same four letters. So they call him Monty.
That would not have helped me at all whatsoever.
It wouldn't have helped you?
No.
Okay.
That would have done nothing for me.
Monty, yeah.
I would have been like, who shares a nickname with Severino? What?
Last name Cole? All right, well, you're 7-0, and I'm like sad. I'm so angry. I need to get one past you. I'm very impressed by your baseball knowledge overall. Well, yeah, you stay perfect. We're going to get you at some point, but you're like, I don't know, an undefeated person that's not Floyd Mayweather, because I don't like that guy. but yeah, that's all I got on He Was a Blue Jay. Another happy week for you and sad week for me.
I'm actually so pumped I got that one.
Yeah, I'm not actually sad. I am happy. My biggest concern when I made this game was that you weren't going to get any. So I'm actually like very happy. I'm very happy. Not because of you, because I thought like these are too niche and I don't know. But all right. Well, we're going to take a step aside. When we come back, we'll do essentially what I'm doing right now, but about the actual Jays. Panic meter next. Summer is coming, and with summer, you're gonna need some food on the go. Plus, you gotta torque from meat men to beach bod. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations or on any vacation. The best part about them, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bars, you can have both, and it's easy. All you got to do is go to Built.com and order now. And have you tried the Built Puffs? We're going crazy for the Puffs. I just talked to Locked On Syracuse host Brad Klein. He's been shoving banana cream pie in his face, even churro, like way too much. But it's only 140 calories, so like it's not even bad, like way too much though. Go to Built.com to get all your favorites. Banana cream pie, that's Brad's favorite. Raspberry, double chocolate, and so many more. They're all delicious and new flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at Built.com. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% your order at Built.com.
Back here on Locked On Blue Jays after my seventh victorious round of He Was a Jay. Thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Ben, 2-0 in this series. The Yankees have won it. The first time the Blue Jays have lost a series so far this season. Let's play a little game of panic meter. I'm going to throw a couple of topics at you. You tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 how panicked you are, and I'll give you the answer as well. So going into this game tomorrow, it is Nestor Cortes Jr., who is the most wonky, weird, good pitcher in the MLB, takes the subway to the games, is a regular-looking dude with a mustache. But he's good. He's good.
Hey, he's not a regular looking dude. I know what you mean, but he looks crazy. he looks like Mario.
Well, my point was, if you saw him on the subway and you didn't know anything about baseball, you wouldn't think he's an athlete.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then he's going up against Yusei Kikuchi, who was a little bit of a questionable signing to some for the Blue Jays, and a lot of Blue Jays fans thought it was a really good one, signing a veteran lefty to the staff. And here's the thing. I don't know about Yusei Kikuchi. I don't know about him. At the beginning of the season, I said that his ceiling is being the guy that is not going to have the best ERA on the team, but he's going to go out there and he's going to give you a chance to win every time out. Tomorrow, if Yusei Kikuchi gets absolutely blown up by the Yankees, who could potentially be going 12-0 in their last 12 games, what's your panic meter on the signing of Yusei Kikuchi?
I think it's at, like, it's pretty low, I'll be honest. Like, 10 is the highest, right? And 1 is the lowest we're going
with
here. It's still, you know, it's 5 starts into a 3-year contract. So I'm going to say, like, a 3, 3.5. And only because he's had great stretches and not great stretches in his career. He was an all-star in the first half last year. He ended with an ERA above 4. That tells you that he can be a little bit on and off. And, like, again, it's just a 3-year deal. So it's not great. Like, I'm not going to be happy. 3 to 3.5 is pretty high. 5 starts into a deal that we're hoping, you know, turns out to be something in the neighborhood of 90 starts as a Blue Jay. It's going to be somewhat of a theme, and I think it's a kind of a boring answer, but it's a little bit early still for me to, like, completely panic about it. But I'm not going to be happy. But I don't know. Are you a little bit more panicked than I am?
I respect your decision or your opinion. Here's why I'm at a 7.5.
Oh!
Yusei Kikuchi has never been good, ever, in the MLB. He has never been good in Major League Baseball. It's never happened.
He was an all-star.
Yeah, and then what happened? And then he finished the year with a 4.4 ERA and with a whip above 1.3. And he had his strikeouts. I mean, his strikeouts were pretty much comparable to the amount of innings he played. This guy, he doesn't jump off the page anywhere and never has while playing in America. And if he goes, or in Canada for that reason either, if he goes out there tomorrow and gets blown up again, listen, Ben, maybe we've watched baseball differently over the last 20 years, but I've seen this road too many times as a Yankee fan. I've seen my team go out and just sign terrible players and then watch them be terrible. It happens far too often. And it's kind of what I'm sadly visualizing with Yusei Kikuchi. And God, I wish, I hope it's not true, and I hope he proves me wrong. But I just don't think he's very good.
Well, it's, I mean, here's what I will say. I think people should go listen. Do you remember what day we did our, like, what's the future of chicken strips? Was it our Friday episode?
I have no idea.
If, yeah, okay. if you say, we do make one of these every day, so it's hard to do. if you say gets blown up, Stripling's had like 5 or 6 starts in a row. It does become a little bit more interesting at the back of the
pack. Oh my goodness. I'm at the point where if he gets, if Kikuchi gets blown up tomorrow and he doesn't pitch well in his next start and Ryu comes back, I am all for putting him in the pen. I'm all for it.
Well, let's move on. But I will say we averaged about a 5 on the panic meter, which I think is good because that's probably where most fans are at.
All right. Second one is, this offense has been pretty much terrible. There has been nothing good about it for the past 6 games. They haven't scored more than, the only time they scored more than 3 runs in the past, maybe is it 7 now, was that game they lost 11-7 to the Stros. So where's your panic meter if they don't score well? I'm all over the place. If they cannot hit the ball tomorrow in the clutch spots and score many runs, Ben, where's the panic meter?
I'm gonna go even lower. I'll be honest. I'm a cool man today. I got it at like a 2, and mostly, frankly, because we know Tay Oscar's on a rehab assignment, and so we talked about it yesterday. I think that revolutionized the offense. I also think this runners in scoring position funk is gonna change. Do I like rooting for a team that doesn't walk? No, I like Peter Brand and Moneyball. But at the same time, it just kind of feels like the roulette thing where it's like, you're like, well, it's got to hit black eventually, right? Like, I know it's hit red 15 times in a row, but like at some point, this offense is going to kick into gear. And I'm not worried. If anything, I think you get Teoscar back, that injects a lot of confidence into them. He's a great hitter with runners in scoring position. He put up 100 RBIs last year. And then eventually you get Jano back, and it just adds, I don't even know if Jano's like huge in terms of he's such a better offensive player than, you know, Collins or Kirk, but no offense, but it slides Heinemann out, and all of a sudden now like Kirk and Collins are rotating or something like that. And it just like makes the overall team's offense better. So I'm not freaking out.
I'm also at a 2 here. I know it was hotter than the last one, but this offense is kind of too good to fail kind of thing. At some point, they have to regress to the mean. I mean, at some point, they got to pick it up. And at some point, Bo Bichette, George Springer, and Vlad Guerrero are going to get really hot. This offense is going to be so fun to watch. Let's do remember that, you know, it is 25 games into the season, so there's a lot of baseball to be played. But, you know, 2 for me as well. So I'm glad we at least agree on one.
Yeah, 2 right. Hits for Bo Bichette today, too. So it's like,
he's absolutely getting back. That does it for Ben and I on this episode of Locked On Blue Jays. Thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Tomorrow we will be back for your Thursday episode, cleaning up the Yankees series and previewing the next one. And now make your second listen, Locked On MLB, with Paul Francis Sullivan. Sully, baby! He's going to bring you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.